An Ode to Braga, a city of gardens, typography, and hideouts. Twin Peaks theme tune on, red velvet couches, and rusty mirrors. David Lynch would have felt right at home in Braga, and so did we when we sat down for breakfast at the Cafe Viana. As we placed our cameras on the marble table, we immediately announced our presence as tourists. I guess speaking in English helped too. Soon after we sat down, a Brazilian lady approached us. Did you know this is the oldest cafe in Braga? Before we even replied, she went on and on about the story of the cafe, its famous customers, and all the events we couldn't miss in Braga. Come to Braga in the summer, come to Braga in the winter, and please invite all your friends, she said. It was our last day in Braga, and her enthusiasm was making us want to come back before we even left. She asked for Alexa's camera and started shooting us and the food from every possible angle. I think we got one good picture out of that. This would have never happened in Lisbon. Okay, maybe she exaggerated a bit, but at least she noticed. She noticed that we sat down, she noticed that we were from out of town, and she made an effort to speak with us and tell us her story. Oh, and she did it all in Portuguese. So Alexis finally found a place where she could practice hers. In fact, she did perfectly well without English in Braga. You see, in Lisbon, we do our best to welcome foreigners by speaking in their language, while at the same time ignoring those who want to practice Portuguese. It's just easier to speak English most times. In Braga, if you speak in Portuguese, they will reply back in Portuguese, which is perfect if you actually want to learn the language. Most people come to Braga for the churches, but we're not most people. We like capturing a city's details, the tiles, the old lady sat outside her house, the balconies filled with flowers, old mailboxes, or the occasional vintage car, if we're lucky enough to spot one. One of the things that stood out to us in Braga was its typography. The city was made for graphic designers. From launderettes to the tourism office, the letters seemed to come alive in Braga. There's even an account on Instagram dedicated to Braga's typography called Letras de Braga. And then there are the flowers. You'll find them all over the city. No other place amazes more than the Jardim de Santa Bárbara. I thought it was going to be just another botanical garden. Instead, it was laid out right in the center of Braga. No entrance fee, no gates, just a public garden filled with multiple flower beds open for everyone to see. The flower show continued in Avenida da Liberdade, a colorful promenade surrounded by shops and striking buildings like Teatro Circo. The avenue leads to yet another garden, the Jardim da Avenida Central. As we were walking around it, we found Livraria Centésima Página. Few places combine bookshops and coffee in Lisbon. In fact, I can only think of Ler de Vagar in Elche's Factory or Bertrand. But Centésima Página had a different kind of charm. At least that's how I felt when I first walked in. Hiding amidst the bookshelves, right at the back, there was a cafe with an outdoor garden. I've never seen anything like it. I just wanted to stay there with a cup of coffee and read. These little hideouts seemed like a common thing in Braga. We found it in Nordico as well. We were on our way to Retro Kitchen when we stumbled upon this cafe, and it became our little spot for the weekend. We had our first lunch here and came back the next day just to have their famous avocado and poached eggs toast. Yep, such millennials. There was something magical about walking in Braga. Whether it was the flowers, the old-style ice cream vendors, or the friendly people, I can't really put my finger on it. But I like it, and I do want to go back. Of course we couldn't miss Bom Jesus, Braga's main attraction, and probably its most photographed feature. We ignored the hotel's advice to get a bus and decided to walk to Bom Jesus. It took us an hour to get to the bottom of the hill, but it was worth it. How else could we have spotted the little shrines, the abandoned soap factory, or the dog chilling on a balcony? By the time we got to Bom Jesus, we had no interest in climbing 577 steps to the top. Luckily for us, there was an easier way, the funicular of Bom Jesus. Since 1882, the funicular of Bom Jesus has been transporting people up the hill to the sanctuary. It was designed by a Portuguese engineer, French descendant, called Raul Mesnier, who also happened to design most of the funiculars in Lisbon. So thanks, Raul. Though no funicular in Lisbon can compare to this one, which is run by water. Yes, water. Basically, there are two funiculars and each of them has a water tank. The one at the top of the hill is loaded with water, which makes it go down, dragging the bottom one to the top, kind of like a balance way. You can buy a one-way ticket or a round trip, which is what we did. I mean, we walked for an hour already, so don't judge us. We picked the seats on the edge and waited for the cabin to move. Slowly, we began to rise up the hill surrounded by a vast trail of trees and bushes. In little more than 2 minutes, we arrived. At the top, a bougainvillea tree immediately caught our eyes. For a second there, I thought I was back in Capri. Of course, there was no limoncello waiting for us, just a few drops of annoying rain that forced us to retreat to the nearest souvenir shop. As soon as it stopped, we were back out and ready to explore. There's much more in Bonjesus than just the church, though. There's a lake with rowboats, a terrace cafe, hotels, and a small cave with water where you can trade coins for wishes. We saw everything but that famous staircase. Back at home, Nick asked me if we had seen the steps. I said no. And it was as if I had never been in Braga. Typography signs? Yes. Braga's most famous feature? No. My camera showed him what I saw there. The ordinary things.